This is Jonathan Mickles with the Strategic Multifamily Investing Podcast, and I have with me Jason Yerusi. How's it going, Jason?
Hey, it's going great. Great to be here.
Well, listen, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know that you all are doing a lot of great things, and it's been a little while since you reached out to us, but we are rebooting the podcast, and great to have you on. So let me ask a little bit about your origin story. I did some research here. You started back in 2017.
2017 is when we strictly went into multifamily. Prior to that, we were in the single family space, basically flipping, wholesaling some Airbnbs, and predominantly went into multifamily, back in really 2015, 2016. We started selling off a lot of the smaller properties, some of the smaller out of state rentals, dove into all education for the duration of 2016, brought a 94 unit, which our first acquisition, that was in 2017. That's led us to today. We've done a little bit over 3,000 units. We're in seven states right now, but a really big footprint here in Middle Tennessee. I live here just south of Nashville in a town called Murfreesboro. Really big footprint here. 90% of the acquisitions we've done are multifamily, just buying apartment communities, so garden style apartment communities. The other 10% is a mix. We have some development. I have motel, have a self storage, have office for the mix of the others there. But of the 3,000 units, it's about 29 transactions. We've gone full cycle, meaning we've completed the full process of the project and sold the property for about 14 of them today.
Wow, that's a lot. So let me go back and unpack a little bit more about this.
Sure.
Let's go back to your origin story a little bit more. I think you were doing a moving company in moving and construction, correct?
Yeah, so it's not the traditional moving, right? So
Okay.
after college, actually, I ended up going into New York City, and I had a finance degree, and it got into the non-traditional route of running bars and restaurants. So did a lot in that space for the 2000 to 2010, where I opened up some restaurants, opened up and owned some bars, and opened and sold a brewery. Well, in early 2010, 11, there Hurricane Sandy happened on the East Coast, decimated the East Coast. Tons, hundreds of thousands of homes flooded, right? Well, my dad he just retired, but had a small construction company that's their primary focus was lifting houses. So lifting and moving the actual physical house, the structure
Oh,
itself.
wow. Okay.
Yeah, and so he did that for better part of almost 50 years when he just retired here. Well, his business would do 10 or 12 projects a year, right? Because it was just like, who needs to lift and move their house? It was a lot of foundation issues. It would be sometimes for setback reasoning or moving it to a different part of a lot or subdividing a lot. And also for flooding reasons, people would
Right.
lift their house higher, so for the hope that their flood insurance would reduce and hopefully they wouldn't flood again. Well, hundreds of thousands of homeowners get flooded, and lo and behold, that business that was doing 10 or 12 projects a year, right, that would get a couple calls a month, overnight 1,000 calls. So,
Jeez.
my partner in Yerusi Holdings, our multifamily, is my wife, right? Well, she was my girlfriend at the time. My brother, who my younger brother, they were working for me at the other businesses we had in New York City. Well, we picked up and moved out to New Jersey and started helping dad with the family business. And
Got
we
it.
did that for a number of years. And we went from doing those 10, 12, 8, 10 projects a year to really on the highest point, 300 in a year. But we
Wow.
did about 2,000 of them. So we did a ton of these projects over the course of the next 6, 7 years there. And it was quite an experience, a lot of learning, a lot of great things. But what really led us into real estate is that Peely, she my wife was pregnant with our first kid, and we were so busy between the construction, the flipping, right, all these things that were active, right, and took our time, right, we're running to the store, we have to be in these projects, and just the moving, right, the house lifting, it's such a specialized field that it's not something you could replace yourself with, right, because
Exactly.
you have someone's biggest possession and you have risk combined together. So you are active on all of these projects. So my whole family were so active on these projects. So we kept asking, what would be another option for us to be able to get back some control of our day, of our time? And it led us into real estate, right? But real estate's this big blue ocean where you could do tax liens, you could do wholesaling, you do flipping, you could do anything under the sun. There's a million different ways to win in real estate. So we just started doing all these different things. And what we found is that we're so active in this construction. Now we're so active in this flipping. We're just so busy. We're more busy now than we were when we were just doing the construction. So we kept asking, like, what else could there be? And we came upon someone who was doing out-of-state rentals, and that led us into small rental investing, and that was cool. However, the economies of scale wasn't there. We couldn't maximize that, right? Well, came upon a podcast like this where someone was talking about buying an apartment community. And
Whose
that was that light bulb
podcast
moment.
was it? Do you know whose
You
podcast it
know,
was?
to be honest, it was just a passing moment. I don't even recall
Okay.
which it was at the moment, but it was a passing one where someone talked about the ability to buy an apartment community, right? But what I got there is like I'd had small restaurants, I'd had big restaurants, I had seen small construction companies, big construction. I've seen both sides of it. Typically, it's the same steps, but it's the ability to manage and optimize and create economies of scale that allows you to go from small to big, right? And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, the small restaurants, you were always, harbored because you still had the building, you still had the tax, you still had the utility bills, and you still had lunch or dinner was only 2 hours or an hour and a half. So there's only so much you could do, right? But in the bigger thing, it was still that same space, right? But you had the opportunity to maximize the space. And that's what I saw with apartment building is that no longer was I treating it like a mom and pop operation, but I had the ability to create scale and to treat it like a business, right? I could hire a full team that could be afforded to manage and run this property from the day to day and allowed me to focus on the asset level, right? The asset level of the project. That made complete sense. And that's where we went in all in 2015, 16, leading to the acquisition in 2017.
So then let me go back. So you were helping dad during this time. Did you really have an interest in real estate, or was it just primarily, let's help dad, let's get in, and do that, and then out of a, being a bringing proximity to the community, you jumped in there.
That's an interesting question. I've done hundreds of podcasts, and I don't know if anybody said that I have an interest in real estate. But what kept having the question in front of me was that even my dad, he had always been a small operation. When you're a one-man shop, right, it lives and dies with you, right? But he had always brought up the term real estate. And the thing is, when you're first starting in anything, is sometimes you don't know what that means. And like just like I said, real estate means 100 different things. Like what in fact that meant to us was that it was the opportunity for us to change the narrative. Because the narrative was that, hard work, right? You do hard work. And that's just hard work. Hard work can pay, but it doesn't always pay if you're just doing hard work for the sake of hard work. And we were just doing a lot of hard work. Nothing wrong with hard work, hard work very hard today. However, I work hard with a purpose that gives me the ability to choose when I work hard, right? Because now we have a team around us to be able to go out there and do it. So real estate was that opportunity for us to break the mold because my dad had done a pattern where he had just worked hard for many years and he had done great, but that's what he had grown up. That's what was surrounding him, right? So we had to break the cycle or we were just going to repeat the cycle. So whether or not the interest lie with real estate, it was more the opportunity to change a course. And that's what really afforded us by taking this path. Now, like many, like there's a lot of courses you can take, right? But we had to take a course. We had to take a course because it could have done a couple things, right? It could have said, oh, this real estate thing's not for us and we go do something else. Or it could have been we take no course and we're stuck where we are. Or it could have been what it is that we started doing different things in real estate and saying, ah, this is kind of it. Like we were doing good with the flipping, we were doing the good with the wholesaling, but it wasn't getting us back control of our day. I was still, the day was controlling me. The activity was controlling me. Oh, the contractor's missing this part. Well, let me run to Home Depot. Oh, the plumber didn't show up. Okay, let me go run and figure, solve that problem, right? What led us to the multifamily is that we're allowing to create and manage the project. Because I had, at one point I had a very lively outdoor bar in New York City. And I took that place and 25 times the revenue. And I didn't do it myself, but I was able to grow the employment staff, right? And having the right team, the right model, and the right focus, and the right people in the place allowed that project to scale, right? So I saw that with the apartment building. I was like, okay, if I can have the right team, the right place, the right project, and the right game plan and power that through, that's where the power of apartment investing really comes together.
So I've got a couple of follow-up questions there, and I have more questions over here. But you mentioned taking a path and, not working hard for hard's sake. If you had somebody who was at the beginning or thinking about, getting involved in real estate, what advice would you have for them? Would you allow them, or would you say go start off with flipping as you did? Or would you, advocate jump into multifamily? Would you invite them to, join a group? What would be right now in 2024 where the rates are where they are? Which is in multifamily, kind of high, right? In comparison to a couple of years ago. Whether they're high or low, people always say that there aren't any deals or they can't find deals. What would you advise somebody who's brand new?
Yeah. Well, in any market, there's all any opportunity, right? There's always opportunity at all times and all spaces in all cities, right? There's people that are winning in different markets across the country right now. And if you look back to, rates compared to our parents, we are at very low rates historically, right? Compared to where our parents were. Now, are rates higher than they were a few years ago? Yes, they're higher, but that potentially at point is historical lows. So at this point, are we coming back to the mean, to the average? Possibly. What I'd say now is that every person's path is their own path. If I could go back, right, it'd make really sense for me to just jump all the multifamily, right? Our huge scale has been on the multifamily side. However, would I be silly to go back and say I'd cut everything else out? Well, yes, I would. All those, that was part of my process to get where I wanted because it allowed me the education, allowed me the opportunity to learn what I did and didn't want and how my process worked. So when I did get to the next step of multifamily, it allowed me to scale effectively, just as we continue to learn through today what's built us out. To say that there's a roadmap where someone should just jump from, skip flipping to go to multifamily, no, it's whatever's path. The goal with someone who's starting out is that most of the time, right, we do get stuck in this shiny object syndrome where we just don't start because we're looking for that perfect path. But what you need to do is pick the first thing and just go try it because you will get back a good question. Because I've always spent my time seeking the answer and I've learned that it's not the answer I'm seeking, it's me not knowing a good question. And when I
That's good.
learned to ask the question, what do? I get the answer, right? But usually it's like we always want the perfect answer, but we don't know what question should be asking. So the flipping, you know what? Like, that was great. And I have friends to do great on. So, but you have to go out there because usually if you stay the same, right? If you stay where you are, nothing's going to happen. So we can take that off the table. But if you take one step, typically you're going to have three things. Either you're going to be like, that was the worst wrong way ever. Okay, don't go that way again, right? Now we got that off the board. Oh, I'm kind of on the right path. Okay, well, what would be the pivot to go? Or you're on the right path. Those are usually the three outcomes. But I can promise you, if you do nothing, nothing's going to change. So
There
you
you go.
have to go take some step because it will produce some education for you to get you and lead you down a path. Because no one has a perfect linear path where said, well, today I started on this thing and I started doing this, and 37 years down the road, I'm that same thing, right? The world changes, everything evolves, but you taking action today starts produce and you to a disciplined course of action that leads you to results that you're destined to have.
Excellent. You mentioned before that your now wife, then girlfriend, jumped in with you. How did you convince her? I'm pretty sure, I don't know, she may have had something different in her mind about, the path that you all would take, but did you convince her, or was she all in from the day one?
So, Pili and I, we met working together in New York City in bars, right? And that bar that we scaled, like she was the boss running that bar before she moved to California for a while, and I took that bar 25. So we met. So for us, the couple part was the bigger hurdle before the business part, right? The business, it's always been that part. I set sail of where we're going to go, and she gives me good course direction on where we need to be heading. Right. And that's a good way for us to look because many times we'll assess the plan of the business and say, okay, and she'll ask a simple question, do we need to do that? And that one question could really say, yes, or you're actually, no, we don't. Right. Because it gives me part to pause because I'm always affirmative ahead, right? And she's always in a part, okay, is this makes sense to meet the course, right? So, value, vision, versatility of your RUSI holdings, does this make sense for the course of the business for what we want to do? And if I can come back with a not only discussion to her, but also myself, then it can be a path, right? So when we first led into apartment communities, it was, hey, let's go about and buy this $2 million asset. And she'd be like, why? And I went back and really just equated it to restaurants. Like, listen, we do the small, we do the big, right? You can look at what you can do here. We're spending all our time doing these day-to-day things that we need to take ourselves out of. Here, we can position people in their best light to help afford to run this property. And beyond that, not only can become a great place to live, but because it becomes a great place to live, tenants are happier, which of course will afford more revenue. Right, which of course will create returns for our investors. So when we started having this conversation and allowing her to see the benefits of it, right, it really started to make sense. It's like when we have investors that will invest with us, and one of the parts is that we're not selling you. Like if you invest, fantastic, right? We'd love to have you. However, this is for you. We do a lot of talking to investors before we have something to raise for, right? Because it's more, here's the benefits of multifamily. right? Here's the benefits. You can have cash flow, appreciation, depreciation, debt pay down, diversification, right? You can have all of those, right? Not all of them are going to work for you, nor do you want any of them, nor do you may you want all of them. But for you as an investor, here's some of the benefits. And now you can come ask the questions that may benefit you and your investment. And if this is something that can fit with you and we can be a partner with you, fantastic, right? But it allows you to assess the opportunity to make sure it makes sense for you.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I asked about that is sometimes, you know, people who are investing, generally the guy is gung-ho and dragging the wife behind rather than it really being a full partnership in building. And that's great that your wife, Peely, was definitely on board in business before you all, you know, had the other partnership.
I'll add one thing to that. You know, sometimes what we forget to do in partnerships, because we do get asked that question quite routinely, is that they forget to ask their partner what they want. Right. Because I could be out there like leading the charge, like, this is the best thing ever for us and our family. It's going to make us, you know, gazillionaires. You know, we're going to, you know, like live from, you know, the hills and all these great things. And, you know, I'll never be home. I'll be working 25 hours a day. And then the wife is like, I don't want that. Just want you home for dinner. Like, we got a young family here. Like, and that's where the conflict comes, is that they're not aligned with their goals. Right. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't asked the other person what they want, because they think that if I was just thinking what I was doing was fantastic and I wasn't taking into account Peely's wants and needs and the family's wants and needs, then no, this wouldn't work. However, when we have a conversation, clarity of what we both are looking for and goals, right? We're looking for a business that we could scale, create impact with, but also control our time. That if I want to break free to go to a kids event, you know, go on a field trip, I have that luxury and opportunity too.
So then is that kind of the foundation of what led you from New York, New Jersey area down to Tennessee? Or was it the opportunity that you saw in multifamily that kind of, you know, precipitated you all moving there?
You know, Peely grew up in Hawaii. I grew up in New Jersey, right? We met in New York City and we just decided that it was just time to make change. And funny enough, COVID happened right after we decided this, and we're like, well, we were going to do it in like 2 years. Like, what's better time than now? And we put our house up thinking we'd have some time to figure it out, and noting the chaos of COVID, our house went under contract over asking in like 2 days, and like less, I think it was actually less than 2 days, with like three offers. And we're like, whoa, we're like, okay, so now's the time. So we were choosing between Denver, Phoenix, and down here in Nashville, right? And what led us here is that, you know, moving to Denver and Phoenix, cool. We had some friends there. We were thinking it was interesting, but all of our investments were here, right? And the only plus side to moving out there was that we were closer to our family in Hawaii, but it's not like we could get in a car and drive. We still had to get on a plane. So right. We're like, okay, let's move down here, Nashville. And just like, I'll equate this now to the real estate thing. Like, just like the real estate thing, like Peely had never even been to Tennessee. And the conversation was like, okay, so what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Well, we get here, we don't like it. Okay, so then we move, right? Just like with real estate, like if you get into that first step and you try out working for someone who's doing a flip and you don't like it, okay, go to do something else. Or, you know, look at a different community, or look at a different, you know, area, or look at a different project.
Excellent. Well, look, you have a pretty large community. And I think the stats that I had is that there were about 3,100 members in your multifamily live club. I'm pretty sure that's grown since the numbers that I've had.
Yeah, we actually started that in New Jersey, man. It was fun because we started that right after we closed that first 94 unit. With the reason being is that, you know, meetups or RIAs, they're usually like everything real estate, right? We couldn't find one that was just like large multifamily, so we just started it. And it attracted a lot of great people. And the cool thing about that is that, you know, yeah, we made a ton of great friends, ton of great connections, but we had a lot of people come in there. Literally had nothing to do with real estate or multifamily investing.
Oh, really?
Leave there and go take action, buy communities, just do a ton of stuff. And it was just fun to watch. It was still fun to see a lot of them out there just crushing it today.
So can people join that community now, or do you have another on-ramp? Okay. How did they gain access?
So you can go over to Meetup. You'll find it there, Multifamily Live. Now that I'm in Tennessee, it's run by other people who were part of the group up there in New Jersey. They do a fantastic job. So Dawn, Selena, John Brandon, they're all up there crushing it. Doing a great job, but the community up there is continuing to grow and is still all day, all night multifamily.
Perfect. So, you know, prior to this conversation, you and I were talking and you mentioned that you all have a new podcast, I think, that you're launching, right? What is
Yeah, we still run the Multifamily Live podcast. That's out there that talks just multifamily, but we launched the Live 100 podcast. The Live 100 podcast, a lot of peak performance, a lot of my focus has gone in my life, right? I had to break the rhythm of just bad habits to really produce outcomes that I can magnify, right? And so that was a lot of what we were doing. Like, we were living a life that wasn't our best calling and living a life that wasn't really a future that we were going to look back on and say, okay, we've had impact, right? In part of our day and part of our future. So we really started to change things in the course of our day, in the course of our week, in the course, not only from our mind, but from physically, you know, and then it creates financial results, right? So a lot of we talk about at Live 100 is a course that you can take to break bad habits, to build a future you that can be magnified for future success.
Wow. And so you can find that on all the podcast platforms.
Correct.
Live 100. Now, I also looked on one of your websites. I think it was the 7 million website. You mentioned that you have some free underwriting, free asset management. How can someone who is in the process of trying to figure out which path did they go engage you? What is probably the best way to engage you on rent?
Yeah, so seven-figure multifamily. We have a mastermind. That's so the meetup, right? So Multifamily Live podcast, the Multifamily Live meetup, all free resources come in that part. This seven-figure multifamily mastermind is a paid mastermind, right? So people come in there if they want just a more direct access to us, shortcuts, another piece of the puzzle to really go out there and crush it, right? Now, that one there are still free resources. You can come in and take account for it, like free underwriting there. You'd go to the number sevenfiguremultifamily.com. You get a bunch of resources, give you a taste to see if this is something you want and have more interest in. And if there is, you can go talk to our team to see if this is a fit.
That's perfect. So how do people get in contact with you if they want to learn more about you or the Live 100 podcast that you're working on? How do they get in contact?
Yeah, easy. You know, I'm on social media at all channels. So Instagram at Jason Yerusi, or if you just strictly the multifamily side, Yerusi, my last name, holdings.com is our multifamily website.
Okay. And so one last question that we ask everybody who comes in is we want to give people the boot. Red Boot LLC, right? We want to give people the boot. What is the one thing that you've learned, I guess, from the new Live 100 podcast and breaking bad habits that you think would provide the most impact to someone out there who's looking to break those bad habits? One thing that you've learned.
You have to be aware of where you are because where you are is your starting point. Most of the time we think there's some future result that's going to create an outcome that you're looking for, right? So when I meet that special someone, I'll be happier. When I lose that 20 pounds, when I'll be happy. When I, you know, make that $1 million, I'll be happy. But no, because that's just a mile marker, right? That just starts the journey that you're already on, right? It just gets you to that next stage, right? It's your course. It's that next stage. And so if you can just look at where you are and find and be aware of who you want to become, that gives you everything you need because you have everything you need, but you're just waiting for some future vision to be happy. No reason to wait for the future. You have what you need to go out there and crush it. You don't need another book. You don't need to go and meet some magic word. You have what you need, but it just takes you to tell yourself you're ready because you are.
Wow. That's amazing. Listen, thank you so much, Jason, for your time and attention. Please, everyone, go out and reach out to Jason and his team. And again, thank you again for all of us.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great to be here.